Blog Talk Radio.
Constituent Advocacy Campaigns Voter Education Series. This is your Voter Education Series facilitator, Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have you join us again tonight, all of you that have and that will. What we're going to do tonight is to share with you the last of our four-part series, Part 4. And I want you to note that you're welcome to give us a call here, and you can call me live on air tonight in this podcast episode at 657-383-0944. Again, let's make sure we're giving you the right number there. I want you to feel free to give me a call tonight. That is 657-383-0944, okay, live tonight on the broadcast. And let me just explain how we'll operate tonight. I will go through this presentation, but I will pause to check to see if anyone has called in and want to share, ask a question, or perhaps share a comment, and then we will go through and finish it. Providing that no one does, so we'll just finish the broadcast, and this live airing will be posted for your future benefit. What's most important is that you get the information. Our website, you saw at the beginning of the show, I put this up. It's for how you can get to our website. If you want to follow me tonight on the website, let me give you this and give you a few seconds to go to it. www.constituentadvocacy.com. That's www.constituentadvocacy.com. Go to that website, and I'm going to follow you there just for a few minutes so that we will be able to keep up with one another. And what you'll find is on the homepage, information there for you. You can actually go over right now to the campaign platform, and you'll see highlighted below it, podcast presentation. That's what we want to go to right now. Click on podcast presentation, and I've done it. You can follow me. And as you get to that, you'll notice that there are some videos there. All four of the presentations, starting with part one, dealing with what to expect from your senator and district boundaries, and then part two, how do tax dollars flow down to constituents? Part three, current status of Tennessee Senate District 19, issues of importance. And tonight, part four is what we're going to present to you, how to hold your elected official accountable. So you'll see the website is there. Now, if you want to follow me as if you're watching a PDF presentation, then you can click on the little document that's right next to it, has a staple symbol there, and it'll open it up, and you can just follow me right online, and you'll see what we're presenting tonight. Okay, if you're not doing that tonight, you're watching this broadcast last, and you're paying attention to me. That's okay too. Feel free to go afterwards to do so at www.constituentadvocacy.com. That's our webpage. And you can join our Facebook group. We encourage you to do that. please click on it and like the page, be a part of us, subscribe to the web page. More information will be coming, I trust you. Trust me. Now, let me say, as I have in the past, make a disclosure. While I am a former candidate in a political race previously, particularly 2014 for the Senate District 19, and most recently Council District 1, tonight I am not announcing that I am running, nor am I counseling out that possibility. But I am now presenting as an advocate for constituents of Senate District 19. My prior experience has taught me that there are a lot of good people that are without useful information when they go to the polls. Furthermore, I have discovered that many people don't vote at all because they don't know enough and they really don't care, okay, because they believe that somebody's taking advantage of them, which is why tonight our topic is apropos, because part four deals with how to hold your elected official accountable. That's a very relevant topic tonight, particularly for those of you who feel like, you know, voting is a game that I don't want to play. Because at the end of the day, I never win. Only the politicians win. But I want you to know that you have power through your consent to be governed, and you can choose who you want to represent you. And I want to offer you information as to how you can, some things you can use to consider who's the best person to represent you. All right, having said that, we're going to get right into it now. Again, my name is Reuben Dockery, and you can just follow along with us. If you're on Facebook, feel free to communicate with us via the Facebook post there. You want to shoot a question to me, you can. If you want to speak to me directly, give me a call, 657-383-0944, and I will also give you my number that you can call me anytime after tonight. Of course, it's there on the website as well. That information is there for you to access. Okay, without further ado, here we go. We're talking about part four again, how to hold elected official accountable. So what is it that we think you need to know tonight? Let's first begin with the objectives as we did previously for tonight, what it is that we expect you to walk away with about holding your elected official accountable. Upon the completion of this section, observers will be informed about the current senator of Tennessee Senate District 19 and the four relevant current representatives of the Tennessee House of Representatives districts 54, 58, 51, and 59. Examine a schematic model for building and maintaining a channel of communication between constituents and elected officials from the Senate district level all the way down to the voter precinct level. Okay? And then lastly, we will share with you information. You will learn how to organize what I'm offering to you, the concept of a precinct government council, all right, which is purposed to identify, represent, and secure the political, social, and economic interest of constituents in each voting precinct of Tennessee Senate District 19. Okay, that's what, we are looking to do tonight. That's how you can evaluate our effectiveness, all right? Now, so what we mentioned that we were going to do is we were going to talk about first who the relevant representatives are or senators, okay? The best way to control an individual is to keep them blind, hungry, and dependent on you. We learned previously about voter apathy in Senate District 19. It's indicated by low voter turnout during elections. Now, historically, The lowest voter turnout has been in voting precincts that are predominantly African American. In addition to that, they have issues such as significant poverty, educational failure in the schools that are attended by the children, and social chaos. You would think that anybody that want to come out and make sure that they have the right representation, it would be those individuals, with all due respect. But the truth of the matter is, what the data tells us is that this is an unfortunate reality. But we can turn that around. We're about change in 2018. You have the power to make the change. Over the last 25 years, the above status has been a constant, unfortunately, for Tennessee Senate District 19. It's time for the change you deserve. We learned previously about the tax dollars that's been allocated, that's been spent, but you haven't seen the benefit of it. It's about time you get your change. All right? Now, let's look at who it is. Now, if you go again, I hope you follow me on the website, www.constituentadvocacy.com, and that you saw how to access that information, and you now see the PDF or the document, and you're able to follow me. If you're not right now, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You can always go back after this podcast, after this show, and do that at your leisure, at your own time. Okay? Just go to that website, look under the previous presentations, okay, podcast presentations, and then open it up, and you can look at the video presentation as well as see the other information with the document itself. All right. Tennessee Senate District 19, Senator Thelma Hopper. Perhaps you knew that already. Believe it or not, there are some people who just don't know that. And you'll see the map here that demonstrates that's the large district, Senate district. Within that, there are three typically assigned, but four that overlap. And so you have representation from four different members of the Tennessee House of Representatives. And they are in Tennessee House District 54, Brenda Gilmore. That's the northwest, section of the Senate District. Right next to her in the northeast section is Bill Beck, and that's House District 51. Then below her is House District 58, which is represented by Harold Love M. Jr. That's the central section of the Senate District. Okay? And then in the Antioch area, we're talking about Council Districts 28, 29, 30, 32, 31, in those areas. You have Sherry Jones in House District 59. All right? And you'll notice how this is a smaller portion of Nashville-Davidson County, but it represents all of Senate District 19. These are the House representatives that are there. What we're talking about in terms of holding elected officials accountable, every 2 years, the members of the House are elected, okay, and have been since they started. Every 4 years, the senator is elected. And as you know, come November the 6th, the next election for the senator for Senate District 19 will take place, November 2018, okay? And we want you to be informed as a voter. All right. Moving right along. Now we're going to talk about those individuals. Tennessee Senate District 19, Senator Thelma Hopper, Democrat, incumbent since 1992, and she's there now, okay? Senator Hopper has held this seat for a quarter of a century. During her tenure, many major socioeconomic changes have taken place. However, little communication has transpired between her and the majority of constituents in Senate District 19. In the most challenged voting precincts, residents tend to know little about her legislative accomplishments. particularly young voters. Okay? Today, it is difficult to see a clear vision of growth for the Senate district from this level of leadership. Now, it's widely believed that she will not seek re-election in 2018. She has not announced that yet, but that's what has been said. Time will tell. Either way, what we do know is that there's a struggle for many residents in Senate District 19. All right. Now, House District 54, Tennessee House District 4, Representative Brenda Gilmore, Democrat, incumbent since 2006. She's there presently. Representative Gilmore has served in the Tennessee House of Representatives for 11 years. She represents the northwestern region of Senate District 19. What many of the voting precincts under her leadership have in common are high unemployment rates, significant academic achievement gaps for the schools that they attend, high crime rates, and major gentrification that takes place. All right? She has launched a campaign to replace current Senator Harper in the 2018 election. However, Senate district needs change and not more of the same stagnated leadership. While she should be applauded for her willingness to serve and the continued interest in public service, particularly on the Senate District 19 level, in the interest of the forward progress of constituents, she needs to be held to the highest level of account for her record as a representative in state government thus far. Now, that's no harm to do that. Now, some other folk no doubt are going to run in the Democratic primary as well as the Republican primary. But in the general election, we need to have somebody that we can rely on for real, sustainable change. You deserve it. I deserve it. We're constituents. I've been one for 30 years now, and you deserve it as well. Okay? Kudos to her for wanting to run, but it's not a shoe-in. All right? Got to put your work in. All righty. In House District 58, Tennessee House District 58, Representative Harold M. Love, Jr., Democrat, incumbent since 2012. Representative Love has served in the Tennessee House of Representatives for 5 years. He represents the central region of Senate District 19, similar to House District 54. Many of the voting precincts under his leadership are negatively affected by high unemployment, significant underachievement gaps, and high crime rates, as well as major gentrification. What we need is real leadership. Now, all constituents should work to be aware of their representative's legislative record and their level of communication with them. This will lead to accountability, and that's what we're talking about tonight. All right? House District 51, Representative Bill Beck, Democrat, incumbent since 2014, present. Representative Beck has served in the Tennessee House of Representatives for 3.5 years. He represents the northeastern region of Senate District 19. This region is steadily being impacted by migratory trends as a consequence of the gentrifying of urban Nashville. All constituents, as I said earlier, should work to be aware of their representative legislative records and their levels of communications with them. This will lead to accountability. Interestingly enough, Representative Beck has only been in about 3 years. There's an opportunity when he runs for election for those of you that are in his representative district, that's a part of Senate District 19, which, if I'm not mistaken, that includes parts of 6, 8, 10, okay, need to have a conversation with him about what he's going to do for you, how you can hold him accountable, all right, before you go to the polls, All right. But lastly, Tennessee House District 59, Representative Sherry Jones, Democrat, incumbent since 1994. Representative Jones has served in the Tennessee House of Representatives for 23 years. She represents the southeastern region of Senate District 19. Similar to House District 54 and 58, many of the voting precincts under her leadership are negatively affected by high unemployment, significant academic achievement gaps, high crime rates, and major gentrification. Now, we can't blame her directly for the gentrification. That's a local level issue. But in terms of the monies we learned about in previous presentations for this educational series, I encourage you to go back and look at them. Some of that money should have come your way. You can have a conversation with her about why we didn't see that, why you didn't talk to us about it. And if you did, where do we go wrong? How can we benefit moving forward? All right? When you do that, when you keep aware, become aware and stay aware of the legislative accomplishments and what they've been doing and what they're currently doing, you can hold them accountable. That's really what we're talking about. All right? That's exactly what we're talking about. Now, let me go and see if there's anyone that's joining us at 657-383-0944. And it doesn't look like anyone has called yet. You're free to call me. Challenge me. Ask me questions. I'll be happy to respond to you. This is a special presentation for constituents of Senate District 19. All right. Having said that, we're going to keep it moving then. Now we're going to talk about a schematic for building a voter constituent line of communication with government leadership. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in my experience and directly in the political process who said, well, we don't know who they are, and they don't talk to us, and we don't know how to reach them. We don't know exactly where to find them. Well, that's a problem. So on this schematic, you can't see it here on Facebook, but again, if you're following me on the webpage, you'll know, and if you go back later, www.constituentadvocacy.com, and then look at podcasts, previous presentation, and you can see all this information. I'm going to start from the left, and then we're going to, we're going to start in the middle, then we'll work from the left to the right, all right? And if you're looking at it, what you'll see is that the U.S. Congressional District 5 representative, who happens to be Jim Cooper, we're not really spotlighting him tonight, okay? Then State Senate District 19, and then those representative House representative districts that we were talking about. And below that, the City Council, right, and its districts, council districts. And the people that are elected to represent you on that level. But you'll see at the very bottom the Precinct Governance Council. Now, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. What I want to show you is how from the precinct, by organizing a precinct governing council, from that level, you can build and maintain a channel of communication that goes all the way up to everybody that's representing you. It's not realistic to think out of 109,000 voters, one individual will be able to have a long-term or direct conversation with all of those people, okay? It's just unrealistic. However, if there is a process in place by which you have people set up and a system set up for the information to get to them, it works a lot better, okay? So we're not talking about unrealistic aims of accountability. We're talking about a realistic process by which you can keep an open channel open. All right. So what we're saying is on the state senate district level, there should be an alliance, a council district alliance for the 21 council districts involved in Senate District 19's boundaries. All right. There should be a chairperson. There should be a co-chair and a reporter at the very least. keeping up with what's going on the state Senate level as well as in the House of Representatives. And they're charged with the duty of bringing that information back to the council district and to the voting precincts within that council district. Then there should be a council district alliance, basically, that represents the council district itself. All right, so there should be accountability as well. Some of these can overlap, basically. All right, but there should be a chairperson, a co-chair, and at minimum, a reporter. You notice we're not talking about a treasurer, right? But because we're not really raising money per se, but we are keeping a channel of communication, someone that records information and engagement with elected officials. All right? So on the left side of our schematic here, you see the United States Congressional District 5. The same thing. There should be someone representative of your council district that has an open channel communication, and there should be a chairperson, a co-chair, and a reporter. Again, they may overlap for each council district, the same people, but you want to open it up to where you don't burn other folk out, okay? Those are things that, as I mentioned in the previous, I'm happy to engage you in terms on your council district level, to come to your areas, into your voting precinct, excuse me, and talk to you about how to develop these models, all right? What it will do is to guarantee that you have accountability from those people representing you, all right? Then lastly, what should happen as well is, first and foremost, an organized precinct governance council on the voter precinct level. Smaller number of people to deal with, more reflective of your neighborhood, your blocks, where you live, and what you need there. Start talking there about what your demands are, what your expectations are, and take it up higher. Share it with others. But hold your elected officials accountable. All right? Now, let's talk about guiding principles for a voter precinct council, all right? And there are a few of them, okay? First, you should have consent. By this, I mean the basis for governance on any level is the express will of the people. Without it, folk can do whatever they want to on your dime with your tax dollars. Education. Prior to casting any ballot, a voter should be reasonably informed about the electoral process, candidates, and issues that face them. Some people, I don't know who's who and what's what. That's one of the reasons you keep getting played, and there's so much voter apathy, which is why we're having this voter education series. Okay? Registration. There should be a process in place to ensure that all eligible voters of a respective precinct are properly registered to vote in a given election. Now, what a lot of people with prior felony records don't know, we have to look into it, you may be qualified to have that record expunged and to vote again. Somebody need to talk to you about that. Okay? Participation. There should be a process in place to encourage and ensure that all eligible voters of a respective precinct have reasonable access to the poll and the opportunity to vote in a given election. Now, some people are crying about people taking advantage of your right to vote and trying to stop you from voting. One of the biggest hindrances to people voting is ignorance, and the second one is apathy. That's why we're having this voter education series, because there are some good people who really want answers and don't know your power lies in your vote. Politicians know that. That's why they play you every time for them. All right? Communication. There should be a process in place to encourage and ensure all those voters of a respective precinct have reasonable access to the polls, okay, and opportunity to participate in the election. That's participation. Communication. There should be a process in place to maintain an open line of communication between elected officials and constituents of the respective voting precinct. And that's what I was just talking about in that schematic, how to build that line of communication that should be maintained. All right, then lastly, accountability. Prior to, during the campaign cycle, which is coming up, and after the election of an official, I don't care who it is, there should be a documented agreement among the elected officials and at least the precinct governance council's executive board. Okay? This is how you make sure that what you need on your voting precinct is represented appropriately, particularly in the Senate, state Senate, and House representatives. Okay? Now, let me talk before I go and check to see if anyone's called in. And again, that number is 657-383-0944. Call us. We can have some dialogue. But before I get to the phones, I'm going to finish this last slide, and then we'll see if anybody's called in. We'll be happy to answer your question and entertain your comments. Precinct Governance Council. Let's talk about some definitions of related concepts. Now, where did this concept come from? It came from me. I'm guilty. All right. And again, as we looked at the process and we understand why, not only here in Tennessee, but nationally, there's such low voter turnout, such apathy, but more importantly, particularly in certain precincts that are predominantly African American, you have the highest rates of all the negative indicators. Okay? It's because our people need to know, not just black people, but others who are not aware of these basic facts. All right? So, in the concept of a precinct governance council, these are relevant concepts. The governance council itself, an organized gathering of residents or voters to address issues of importance to their neighborhood or neighborhoods and the community as a whole. Simple as that. You're organizing yourself to hold those who are supposed to represent you accountable. Okay? The policy agenda is a written and approved guideline for representing the interests of residents of voting precincts within the political boundaries that we're talking now about in Senate District 19. Simple as that. Senate District, as we know, we've talked about this before, the largest political boundary of the Tennessee General Assembly, where voters are assigned to an elected official to represent their interests in the state Senate. Likewise, the House District is the second largest political boundary of the Tennessee General Assembly, where voters are assigned to an elected official to represent their interests in the House of Representatives. Okay? Then on the council level, which is more metro government, it's not so much state, but this is the Metropolitan National Davis County Government, you have a council district, the geographic and political boundary set by the metropolitan government for constituents or voters represented by an elected council person. Now, I want to make a distinction that here, when the state set its boundaries or do their gerrymandering, as it's called, depending on which political party is in control of setting that at this time is the Republican Party. Once they set the boundaries for the Senate district and the House of Representative district, then the local government, the Planning Commission, it gets involved and they look at where the county lines are. And they set boundaries for the representative school district as well as council district boundaries. Okay? And from there, they determine how many voters are within a voting precinct. Typically, each council district have about 17,000 to 18,000 voters, okay, or residents, I should say. Not necessarily all of them are voters. But from there, they determine, based on those voters, who should be assigned to go vote in a precinct, okay? And what the voting precinct is the smallest division of constituents or voters, residents, within political boundaries of the council district itself. Now, eligible voters within the given council district are assigned, as I mentioned earlier, to a particular location where they are to vote. What happened to a lot of people is they went to the wrong place because they were not aware of this simple fact, so they couldn't vote. And they felt like somebody cheated them. I understand why. But again, you need to be aware ahead of time. People telling you, register to vote and go vote. Well, tell me what's up. What am I registering for? Who am I looking to vote for and why? Right? Well, I hope that this information will help you answer those questions adequately. All right. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and see if we got anybody. We don't have anybody checking in with us yet. Feel free to do so, 657-383-0944. Or you can follow me on my website, www.constituentadvocacy.com. You go there, and I'm just going to take a minute to go there with you right now. I don't see anyone communicating with us on Facebook here, but you're welcome to do so. The floor is open. And perhaps you just want to hear what we're talking about. Make sure this fathead cat ain't just running game. That's in order too. Hey, I'm with that. Let's do it. Let's do it right. You go to the website, basically, you'll find, hover over the campaign platform. You can look at that later too as well. But you'll also find at the very bottom of that the informational podcast. Once you click on it, podcast presentation. And there you'll see the pre-recorded video. The longest one is about 42, 43 minutes, but it's the full presentation that we're given now, okay? And then there is a document right next to it, a PDF document that you can open up. You can follow this presentation as I'm giving it to you now for your education. That's the point of we want it to be used. And again, right now I'm an advocate for the people. I've always said that I understand the political process, and I understand when you're running that you're running for a political office. But what I don't like about politicians is that they're concerned about numbers and not people. And as an advocate, I believe you can responsibly run for office, and look out for the interests of the people as opposed to just getting numbers to get you in office. I got a problem with that because I've been voting myself since my adult life. And I've seen people run that game. I ain't with that. But nonetheless, that's just me. That ain't got nothing to do with you. You got a right to do your thing because it's your right. Okay. I digress. Let me get back to the presentation, and then we'll check again to see if anybody wants to answer any questions. And we're just about finished with it now. Let's talk about the Precinct Governing Council's general aim. Okay. They provide guiding principles on voter education, important, voter registration, which is important, and voter participation. You wonder why young people coming out of high school are so disinterested in registering to vote. For what? My mama didn't like it. Grandmama didn't like it. I don't like it either, right? Well, that's another important aspect of civic involvement and civic engagement, okay? So we definitely need to focus on that. But don't just tell them to vote for any particular party. Tell them to understand what they're voting for and that this is your right and your power to make sure that your needs are met from government, okay? The aims of the Precinct Governance Council is to establish bylaws that will govern that body of people, okay? To establish or build membership and participation, active participation. Strategic planning for members of the voting precinct, okay, who are part of that council district, okay, but who are a part of the greater Senate district, all right? And then lastly, a process for choosing a candidate That's what it does. It helps you in your block, in your neighborhood, decide, not just because they are Democrat, not just because they are Republican, because they're somebody who hears us and understands what's in our heart, what we need. There are a lot of disaffected and frustrated voters because they have bias remorse or voter remorse. I voted for them, they ain't done nothing for me. I ain't going to never do that again. I heard that a lot from military personnel and younger people in particular. All right? But this process helps you identify who's a good candidate, right, for elected office on the local level, local government, state level, and the federal level. Okay? Now, just because Tennessee is a red state and Republicans control the roost, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be asking those folk questions on the governor's level and even those who represent you in the United States government, in the Senate and the House of Representatives. Don't mean you shouldn't be asking those people questions. They're supposed to represent you. Don't be afraid to talk to them. You know, that's your right. People tell you it's your right to vote and people die for your right. Yeah, that's right. It is your right. But know how to use it to your benefit. Okay? All right, let's talk about the organization of a precinct governor's council now. You kind of figure out what the aims are. Let's talk about how to organize one. You start by forming an assembly, and these are people on your block, whatever the name of your street is and the other streets around it. Say to them, hey, listen, man, you know, these folks going to be coming through here, knocking on our doors, mailing us stuff, sticking stuff in our doors and what have you, you know what I mean, talking crazy at the polls. Let's be aware and let's unify ourselves. Let's come together within our voting precinct and let's talk about what we need, what we want. So when they come, we'll be ready for them collectively. All right, so there's an assembly of people who can vote, who recognize they have the power. From that, those people elect officers to represent them on the precinct governor's council level. All right, they establish themselves a bylaws committee. I suggest Robert Rules of Order is an excellent source, has been historically. Okay? That bylaws committee proposed bylaws, bring it back to the body, and there is a reading to that body of these bylaws before that assembly of voters, first, second, and third reading. Then the body chooses to approve them or not. Okay? When they adopt the bylaws, though, this becomes the governing document for that governance precinct council, that precinct governance council, excuse me. Okay? Now you have a situation where when, say, I came to you, won your vote, you can hold doctor accountable. You understand what I'm saying? If someone else likewise did, you let them know where you are and what you expect. There are certain people who do this type of thing already, okay? Again, I want to emphasize it's in African-American voting precincts where you have the worst indication of government response to basic needs, that you have the least participation in terms of voting in the political process, largely because of unawareness and the attitude, I don't care. Well, when you're out of their sight, you're out of their mind. Okay? Let's put all what it's weak is. Let's be aware of that. All right. I'm going to talk about now the Precinct Governance Council economic agenda. In the previous sections, particularly 3 and 2, I talked about the importance, and I talked about in 1 how the budgeting process goes, right? Really, I talked about that in 2 more so. But where there's high unemployment and there's high poverty and there are young people, we gave you the stats and the breakdown demographically of Senate District 19 as a whole, okay? And when you break down each council district, you'll see that in certain council districts, in certain voting precincts more specifically, there's a higher rate than in Davidson County or than the national average of unemployment. Why is that and what's going on? What can we do? Are there resources to turn that around? Absolutely. But you need to know where they are. That's what the economic agenda is based on. Creation of a 4-year strategic plan for economic empowerment of residents who are either unemployed, or underemployed. Such planning will include, but not be limited to, what I'm suggesting as a cooperative economic development initiative on the voter precinct level. Okay? This spells out what resources that are allocated for you should be used for. Now, I just learned, I actually got it the other day, the tax bill. And in there is a piece that talks about reinvestment in areas very much like these voting precincts I just described. I was very interested in that because guess what I want to do? I want to hold them accountable to that. If the money is allocated and the provisions are there, then I need to hold you accountable to that. I don't care who you are. But man, give it to me. All right? The Cooperative Economic Development Initiative, business planning, and startups. Jobs are good. I love jobs. What about some businesses? There's some young cats out there slinging dope and getting into all kind of other legal activities. Man got killed just the other night over here in North Nashville on 26th Avenue because they out there trying to make money through this gaming system. Somebody come and rob them, right? For those young guys that did the shooting and tried to rob, why weren't they working, either for themselves or for somebody else? I'm just trying to tell you how we get. I won't digress, I promise. Stay focused here. All right. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Then lastly, the acquisition of community funding mechanisms. If they don't exist, I expect my senator to be talking to me about how to make them exist. Now, don't tell me I ain't got that. We don't have that. Well, what can we do to get them? What we need to do to get them then? Don't tell me about what we don't have. Tell me what you can do for me. That's the power you have as a constituent, as a voter. Okay? All right. Now, let me talk about the educational agenda. Told you got achievement gaps, right? Particularly in reading and math. I'm going to tell you something. African American children are some of the brightest children in the world. They can learn, but we have to set high expectations from our parents, from our neighborhoods and our communities, and then we can hold those folk in schools. And many of the teachers, I can tell you, I used to be one of them. They got a heart. They want to do that, not just black teachers, white teachers too. But the breakdown is in communication between the home and the community. This is why we're suggesting this educational agenda, creation of a 4-year strategic plan for educational advancement of adult residents and children in public schools. Okay? Such planning will include but not be limited to the establishing, and here you go again, I said this several times before, the establishment of a 21st century community learning center with an emphasis on family-orientating, family education, training, and parent involvement in schools, and providing opportunities for adult education. Now, I told you the other day that the governor has a piece out there for young people to get 2 years of college free, free of charge. Further, they've extended that last year in the legislature. For if you're an adult and you've been out of high school for a while, right? You did get a high school diploma, you've been out for a while, you can go to college. Guess what they allow you to do? Not only get a GED or equivalent, but you can go and get a skills with some of the lottery dollars. Now, come on now. That will drastically improve the quality of your life, and that's what we're advocating here. Let's streamline that and bring it directly to our voting precincts where we know we need them. All right. Okay. I won't digress, I promise. Precinct Governance Council social agenda. Creation of a 4-year strategic plan for improving the quality of life for all residents of the Precinct Governance Council. Why are you going to just look at the Precinct Governance Council? Because you may not be able to control what goes on outside of your neighborhood, but if you don't do nothing else, you ought to have some input on what's going on in your neighborhood. When you establish yourself along this order, you can hold yourself and others accountable. And you can let your elected officials know what they need to do. Not just run in and run out when they get ready. Keep getting elected for nothing, essentially. Such planning will include but not be limited to identifying neighborhood-based solutions that will address criminal behavior at its root cause. Now, if you don't know as an elected official that young cats out there breaking the law, committing crime because they, in their mind, they're trying to survive. If you don't know that, you sleep at the wheel. See, that's two people we're dealing with. We're dealing with the law-abiding community who don't want to have to deal with the unlaw-abiding and put them at risk as well. And that's what needs to happen. Conversation about before they go to commit crime, how can we create the conditions that preoccupy them so that they don't have time for that? Okay? And I'm not going to digress. That's a whole nother conversation. All right? These solutions will offer social and emotional support to families and youth. Every time we hear about some young person dying in the streets, people come together and they have these visuals. And what happens? Not much. After the news die down, wait till the next one, then we have another emotional moment. But no leadership. No leadership. I said no leadership. That's what we need. That's the change we need. You deserve it. All right? These will ensure that people's properties are protected. Now, right now, we're talking about affordable living and people losing their homes and they're not able to afford to stay in certain neighborhoods. Well, somebody needs to put the brakes on something and then talk to these folks about making sure that there's fairness in this process. That's leadership, government leadership. Okay? And form a community and district-wide treaty. What is a treaty? Doctor, what you talking about, a treaty? I'm going to get to it. Let me see if anybody checking in with me. I ain't got nobody checking in with me. 657-383-0944. Thank you for checking us out on Facebook. Let me just go there and acknowledge the fact that you can shoot me in the conversation thread there. Give me a, if you want to pose a question or something, you don't have to necessarily call in, but you can call in. I'll still be on here for a little while longer. 657-383-0944. That's the number you can call. Please check us out. This is really for the people. It's for the people. This is intended to provide you the information that will equip you with the knowledge that's necessary to make a wholesome, a good choice. Leadership. I know that there are people who are used to voting for a party, Democrat or Republican. Kudos to you, all due respect. But the person that represents you in the Senate, District 19, needs to be somebody that's going to look cussed. Let me explain something to you. Last time a little dude got killed, the bullet didn't care if they were Democrat or Republican, if their mama was a Democrat or Republican, if their grandmama was a Democrat or Republican. When they're hungry, when they face social challenges and failure, it don't matter what your political affiliation is. Our leadership needs to be cognizant of that. I'm not saying you don't have a right to be a part of any particular body. Personally, I'm not. And I have respect for those who are. But most importantly, the people need an advocate for them that's going to go there and work for their best interest. I encourage you to think about that as we move forward. All right. I talked about a treaty, and I'm just about finished now. If you want to talk to me, I'm going to, at this last slide, we're going to soon prepare to wrap up our show. This is a good time to go ahead and make that call, 657-383-0944. I'll talk to you more about how you can reach me personally later after this show. But if you want to just say something, you want to question what I'm talking about, feel free to do that. I wish one of those representatives would call and get me straight. Boy, I'm begging for them to do it. I'd pay them $100 if they did. But nonetheless, this treaty, here's this treaty, 657-383-0944. That's the number you can call. Here's the treaty. All right. Here's the basis of the agreement. And you've heard this before if you listen to part three. We the people of the 19th Senatorial District, Tennessee, in order to form a more perfect Senate district, ensure justice, promote public harmony, provide for common protection, promote general interest, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our children. Do ordain and consent to the common organization of the electorate, Tennessee Senate District 19. Beloved, with such a treaty, you can indeed hold your elected official accountable. I'd like to encourage you to do that. All right? That concludes tonight's presentation. And I'm going to just leave the phone open for a second for you to give me a call. Check, talk to me, all right? I do see a few people following us on Facebook. You don't have to, no pressure. But if you like to, don't pick up the phone, 657-383-0944. Now, we will be having some other, that's the end of our voter education series. The information is there. Go to the webpage at www.constituentadvocacy.com. And as I mentioned, you can hover over the campaign platform. Then you'll see podcast presentations. Click on that. Or if you're at the home page, right at the home page, you'll see at the very bottom to the far right, you can click right there on podcast presentations. And open up the previous all four of the lecture presentations for this voter education series. Take your time, you know, check it out. Not only do you have the video presentation, and you also have the document next to it that you can digest at your own pace. Okay? Now, the only setback is in the video presentation, you got the same fathead, good-looking guy that you got for this live part presentation tonight. Don't hold that against me, okay? Charge it to my head, not to my heart. All right. Again, I want to emphasize, you can call me after tonight, at 615-498-4669, okay? Be happy to talk with you. You can find me at tds19@gmail.com, or just go to the webpage and subscribe to the website, and we'll have your information and we'll shoot you all the information you need moving forward. Now, I want to reiterate the fact that tonight I'm not announcing candidacy, nor am I excluding that. Okay? But you will hear from us in the very near future about that. Come January is when petitions will be picked up to go on the ballot, and I can assure you, I promise you, you will hear from me. But nonetheless, what's important first and foremost, if I never run for an office again, is that you are informed as a voter. That's what's important to me right now. Okay, we're about to leave 1 year and go into another. And I would that we not be ill-informed going into this electoral process. I got a caller here at 314-4644. Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Voter Education Series.
You know, politicians are not going to really take people out of poverty. When have they ever done that?
I've never seen it myself in my life.
No, it's not going to happen.
And okay, all right. I have to
let's talk about block. Let's talk about black politics.
Okay.
Blacks do not pay the campaign expense of the politicians that they vote for, nor do they select them around a particular agenda the way it should be done. You know, if you got an agenda, that situation that needs to be taken care of, You choose somebody to run, support them, vote for them, then they go to the state house and do your bidding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got a lot of dynamics going on.
Okay.
Let's look at number one. One of the reasons you got ill-informed voters is because they're not taught their civic duties, for one thing.
Okay,
and also,
that's true.
And that should be taught in the schools. And since most black students are in public schools, that's not taught in public schools any longer.
And when I have seen
districts where it was sort of special. But so if they don't know their civic duties and how the system works, then how do you expect for them to perform correctly and express those civic duties when time comes, when they become of age? It's not going to happen.
That's true.
Another critical thing. Businesses control politicians. That's just the way it is. Politicians control what? Your public service, like the police. Politicians control police.
True.
You, I mean,
you know,
think
Cole,
about
I was,
it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah,
go ahead,
think
Pastor.
About it. Go ahead, sir. I don't.
No,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I recently finished the report. The President Obama ordered a report of the Ferguson condition with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I finished that report, and one of the interesting things it talked about was how that population of people, very much to what you're saying, the point you're making, they were in a position in terms of their voting strength to vote in a mayor that would appoint a police chief that will change the culture of the policing in Ferguson. But most of the people were blind to all of that. They discovered folk had no clue about how that worked. You understand what I'm saying? And so,
well, I know Ferguson
your,
very well because I live close to it.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. You're absolutely
And the people
right.
didn't come out this past summer to vote the mayor out, Mr. Knowles, who had been there long-standing. And another thing.
You do. What do you do then?
I don't know what you. I don't know what you do. You just talk about it.
Well, you educate. Here's what you do. You educate people, and you do your best to make them aware of these factors, because that's really why you're angry, and why you want to tear something up, because you don't really know you have the power to change that without using your fist. Malcolm
well, you
X
know,
talked about the talent of the bullet. You know, and that's
well,
what young people are in particular today. I think. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know what it is, people, now, even if you don't have businesses, you do have the control over your police, you as a citizen, because
Absolutely.
Police are employees. That's all they
yes,
are.
Sir.
They're employees.
Yes, sir.
The fire department,
yes,
employees.
That's right.
Public Works, City Hall, school, all employees. You have control over them. In Ferguson, yes, they could establish a police commission, and through that commission, set policy rules that the employees should follow. If they don't, you get rid of them.
Absolutely.
If you don't want high-speed chases going on in your community, then you stipulate that in the rules. You know, if you don't do that, you are being liable for these miscarriages of justice against some citizens where they turn around and sue. Who's going to pay for
right.
that?
Well,
and another
right.
point. Your black community should not have a 100% white police department. The police should come from the community, and it should reflect the people that it serves. I mean, that's something. But you know why? Because that's a wage and salary job that people in the community should be able to have access to in order to pay their property taxes, paint their house, keep their lawn neat, send their children to school, and enroll them in extracurricular activity where they don't have to be out at the red light intersection with pot pans and buckets begging for money.
Okay. Excuse me for laughing, but I've seen that. You raise a great point. I wanted to speak to community policing. There are federal dollars, and I understand, irregardless of what you think about President Trump, that he has ensured that those monies maintain themselves for community. And part of that federal model has to do with building a healthy rapport between the police that represent the people, that work for the people and the communities that they serve. Now, Sir Robert Peel is said to be the father of modern-day policing. And one of the things he pointed out in his philosophy is the police is the community, and the community are the police. They should hold the police accountable because the police
absolutely
work for them.
Fire department, too.
Well,
City Hall,
all government
too.
Agents, yes. He was just talking about policing, but you're right.
You know,
everybody that works for the government works for the people.
It's a shame in Ferguson that black young people had to get on the bus and ride by that brand new police station over there on South Florissant. They ride by that brand new fire department there on Airport Road, and they're going riding by these places where people come from miles around that's making high wages and salary and benefits and pensions while they go out into the further county and work for minimum wage with none of that.
Okay. I can't really speak to the politics of Ferguson, but I've invested quite a bit here in Nashville, Davidson County, and Senate District 19. But I would recommend to them that they use the process which I shared, and it will position them, I believe, to hold them folk accountable. Their council people or their whoever's over the ward, you know, state representatives and so forth.
They need
so
to get rid of them if they don't do what you want them to do. Kick their butts out. Simple as that.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's
there's
true.
A school district just west of St. Louis County where black children were being bussed out because of the local school districts in the ring around the city. They was unaccredited. They was having problems. And whites didn't want blacks coming out there. But, you know, I remember that one time there was some issue within the school district. And those people got rid of every last one of them school board members. Got rid of all of them. And the superintendent.
Wow.
But you don't hear that going on in the hood. Another thing, you need to have school choice where parents can put their child where they feel best to them, where they teach civics. And by the way, I voted for Trump, too.
Okay.
So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I want to make it clear that irregardless of who you – that's your right to vote for whoever you want to. But whoever you vote for, hold them accountable. Now, what I'm going to be looking at is the promises of everybody that said they were going to do one thing or another. And my whole thing is that you should make sure that you remind them of that, and the time will come where they'll be looking for you again to keep them in office.
Well,
no, you go.
I tell you what, the issues he made on during the elections and when I went to his rally, he's sticking to them pretty close.
Well, you should give credit to where credit is due. Now, what he said he was going to do so far, he's done it pretty well, fairly well, whether you agree with it or not.
I don't agree with all of them. I don't agree with net neutrality and so on, but so far he's doing it though, right?
Well, I mean, again, the question is what can you do about it, right? And more importantly, see, what I've been telling people is you can't control what goes on in Washington, D.C., really, but you can control what's going on in your backyard. And if you don't do anything but make sure you got reasonable people representing you on the local level, on the state level, because those are the people that can go to bat for you the greatest for what you
absolutely
need. Most people they can't eat and they can't think straight and they're depressed and what have you because of the social problem that they're facing. They really don't give a hoot about what's going on in Washington, D.C., man.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to continue to listen to you and put myself on mute.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you, sir. We're probably
going
to be wrapping. I'm going to leave the phones open for a little bit long. Thank you for calling tonight. The number is 657-383-0944. We'll stay online a few more minutes here. Feel free to give us a call. Question, comment, we'll be happy to entertain that. While you do that, I'm just for a few more minutes here, we're going to stay on the line. I want to go back to some of the things that we discussed and look at why it is caller said something that was important. Now, he was speaking about the case study of Ferguson, and I was sharing with him that I had a report. And I did so because there are a lot of areas that share some of the same circumstances or ingredients there. And more than anything else, there are a lot of angry African-American young people in particular. And they think that their anger is really directed toward their white counterparts. And I would argue that when you sit down and you really look at it, it's not necessarily your white counterpart that you're mad at. What you're really angry at is the fact that people representing you in government have squandered and misused oftentimes the resources allocated for you. What do you mean, Doctor? One case in point is there are federal dollars that come for community block development grants, come to the state, and the state disseminate those monies down to local governments. Well, they permit them to use them for community development. What do you see? In areas that are affected by high gentrification, oftentimes if you follow the dollars, you'll realize that what attracts development there are the federal dollars that are supposed to be helping build your community. But the flip side of the coin is if you lived in a certain neighborhood for 20, 30 years and you've done little or nothing to develop it, why? Maybe because nobody told you about the resources available to you to do that. So I want to go back to the point that I made when I talked about the best way to control an individual. See, it's to keep them in a position where they're blind to the facts, to the realities. And they're often hungry and dependent on you for information, depending on you for immediate resource, depending on you for comfort. What's wrong with that picture? You've got to empower, educate, and empower yourself to where you're no longer subject to someone else's will because you don't know. Okay? And it, again, speaks to this voter apathy and the fact that when you go to the polls, you can't find certain people represented. The people that struggle the most academically, educationally, economically, socially, are the ones that are most detached from the political process. We got to change that. We got to change that. You can do better. We can do better. And I will just emphasize that. Okay. Again, I want to thank all of you that took the time to watch our video here and to learn. We will be sharing this and we'll be promoting this even more. What's most important is that you get the information, okay? So thank you. I'm looking at Mr. Horton, who looked like he's joined us and watched us live here. Mr. Stephen Shelton, thank you, sir. Ms. Rama, D. Rama. Thank you so much for joining us, and there are some others who perhaps have taken the time to listen to us. Rocks, I think Rocks may be tuned in. Miss Groves, thank you, and others. We're going to be following up with more information, so stay tuned with us. If you're part of this special constituent advocacy group, the purpose of that is to make you aware. Don't want to over-inundate you with information and frustrate you with a whole lot, but we definitely want to keep you informed as we move forward. Come 2018, the election cycle will start for the House races in Davidson and Nashville, Tennessee, particularly those House districts that I identified, 54, 58, 51, and 59. Those are the ones that residents of Senate District 19 live in or part of. And then Senate District 19, that election will be coming up as well. I want to keep you informed and want to make sure that you have the information that you need. But again, this has been your facilitator for the Voter Education Series sponsored by the Constituent Advocacy Campaign. And the campaign will continue running until into 2018. Okay? This is Reuben Dockery. I want to thank you again and encourage you to stay tuned for further information and further contact with the Constituent Advocacy Campaign.